You are listening to an American Free Press podcast.
Join me on the line for Day 3 Bilderberg Update coverage are Pete Papaheraklis and Jim Trafficant. Guys, thanks again for taking the time out to give the listeners an update.
Thanks, Dave.
Okay, so yesterday was Day 3 of Bilderberg, and supposedly that was the biggest day. That was June 8th. Why don't we start from the top? Pete, we'll start with you. What happened in the morning and all throughout the day?
A lot of things happened. We were there for most of the day. I would call it a historical day. The crowds that were seen there were way beyond anything ever seen before. There was about 3,500 people there.
Wow.
Yeah, 3,500 people. As a matter of fact, the place could only fit 2,000 people. So it was filled to capacity, and there was about 1,500 people outside that couldn't come in.
Okay, when you say the place, what place is this?
Yes, the place is at the edge of the Grove property of the hotel. The Grove has about 300 acres, which has a roads going all around it. It's sort of like a circle in a sense, sort of maybe like a oblong type of circle, and has roads going on each side of it. So right along the entrance on one of the two sides where you can enter the premises, they had it closed off. They had a section of property there cordoned off for the protesters to set up their protest. So this was approximately, what would you say, Jim? How big was the area?
About seven, eight acres. I would say maybe 10 acres.
The part
the pie shaped where the...
No way. No, no, no.
You don't think it was that big?
Oh, no, not that much. I would say it was maybe...
Bigger than you think, Pete. There's a lot of people there.
No. They say this whole property here is only 3 acres.
Yeah,
that's what they said. Well, it was, I would say it was maybe 600 feet by 1,000 feet triangle. Did you say something like that?
Yeah, I think it was a little bigger, but that's...
Maybe bigger. Sorry.
It was like the length of a football field?
Yeah, let's just call it a football field, sure. Yeah, a little smaller than a football field, I would say. Yeah, that's a good description, yeah.
Okay.
A little smaller than a football field. So they had this thing cordoned off, and they had all the security you had to go through, and, you know, they checked you with the police were there with a metal detector and what have you. And there was several tents set up. There was a couple of bathrooms, and there was maybe 3 or 4 different tents set up, 2 main ones for news people to be there. And like I said, there was facilities there for bathrooms, and there was 2 different kinds of police people inside the place there. There was maybe 4 police liaisons, which were like a milder version of the police. They wore light blue uniforms, and there was other police with the yellow jackets, the yellow vests. There was maybe 5, I think, police liaisons and that many cops. And outside the premises there was maybe a couple of dozen police officers, and probably maybe 100 of them all up and down the road, just walking the streets and patrolling the area. So there was a heavy police presence at the entrance and around this place, and maybe about a dozen or so police officers inside of it.
Okay. How many members of the press do you figure?
You know, Mark would have a better read on that because Mark was there every day, all day, giving interviews to everyone and all that. I would say there was, I don't know, maybe a couple of dozen members of the press, maybe. Yesterday, on Saturday, there was maybe more than there were the other days. So yesterday, they set up, you know, this platform on one corner of the property there, and speakers would get up and start speaking, especially, I think, starting in the afternoon, maybe, I don't know, 1 o'clock, 2 o'clock or so. And it culminated with David Icke being there, you know, major speaker, and then finally with Alex Jones speaking. It was a huge event. It was like a big rock concert or something. And these guys got standing ovations and people basically clapping and what have you. You know, an interesting thing is that both David Icke and Alex Jones gave a lengthy tribute to Jim Tucker, which was appropriate. David Icke got up there and he says, "There's a big spirit I see right in front of me here hovering over the sky, and that's the spirit of Jim Tucker, without whom none of this would have ever happened, and he was the lone voice exposing Bilderberg years ago and what have you." And, you know, that got a big applause. And then when Alex Jones came, he gave, you know, an even bigger tribute to Jim Tucker. So that was very nice.
Right. Did they make any mention of American Free Press?
No.
Yeah,
no,
of course not.
They didn't do that.
Right. Like Jim Tucker did it on his own without any direction or guidance or anything like that.
Yeah, exactly. They didn't really mention us. The politics there, Mark would have to explain the politics better because he was on the scene. But the person that organized this was this guy, Charlie Skelton from The Guardian. And I met him. I talked to him a little bit. From what I understand, there was a deliberate effort from him to downplay us. I think maybe, you know, as you could imagine, our message is a little more liberal. And I think, you know, our message is a little bit threatening to them. You know, as you know, what Alex Jones's agenda is, and David Icke doesn't really talk about the J word either. And they don't really want people to go there. And I think we're associated with criticizing Israel and that type of thing. And I think that was something that wasn't really mentioned over there, unfortunately.
How long did Jones talk for?
I would say Jones spoke for probably half an hour, maybe 20 minutes, if not half an hour.
No, I was going to ask if you had a sense of how many people were there who were there specifically for each of these individual people like Jones and Icke. Is that how you say his name?
Yeah, David Icke.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
Are you familiar with David Icke's work?
I mean, I've, you know, brushed up against him a couple of times, but no, not really.
Right. David Icke has been writing books since the early 90s, you know, about the conspiracy against the Rothschilds and Bilderberg and all these things. And he's British, of course. So I think that had a lot to do with it because he was the local type of
celebrity.
Well, yeah, anti-establishment type of, you know, conspiracy writer, if you will, celebrity, yes. And he's been on the internet also for a long time, since the 90s. So, you know, he's very well known. I mean, I've read a lot of his books. Both him and Alex Jones, I think mainly it's the internet presence of these guys that really got most of the people there. You know, I mean, when they entered the place, you could see they basically had all the groupies surrounding them. They had that star appeal, basically, at the event. You could hear people that were just elated that they got to meet either one of these guys.
Anyway, did you get a sense of where they were from? Were they locals or were they from abroad?
The vast majority were locals, of course. There were some people that were from abroad, but yeah.
Okay, so here's an event that is really not doing much, and we're talking about the Bilderberg Fringe Festival. Here's an event that it's its first year, and of course there's a couple of big relative names there, and they draw at least 3,500 people.
Mm-hmm.
But a Freedom Festival here in the United States can barely draw flies.
What do you mean by Freedom Festival?
Well, for example, like Freedom Palooza.
Oh, I see.
It can barely draw flies, and it's talking about serious stuff, but here's a bunch of people who really don't know what's going on. Just that, hey, Bilderberg Fringe Festival, let's go party. And it's pretty disgusting that that's the state of affairs. Did you think about that at all when you were amongst all those people that here's 3,000-4,000 people coming out for a brand new event that really is ill-defined, but in the United States, like Poker Face could have Freedom Palooza and, as I said, you know, have a tough time even drawing flies. Did you make the comparison?
Well, yeah. Yeah, it's unfortunate that Freedom Palooza, you know, has attracted so few people with so much that they had to offer. I mean, they had so much more to offer than here. You know, of course, the Bilderberg event is something unique that is different. I think mainly, like I said, it's the internet presence of these guys who, I guess, depending on how you look at their message, you could say, you know, in many ways, I think it's good that they're spreading all this attention, spreading this awareness, rather, on what Bilderberg is and all that. I mean, they reach by far more people than Paul Tepeti does, and they've been at it for a long time, and this is sort of like it's starting to snowball on itself. What I was paying attention to, Dave, was the fact that these people were primarily from the left, really. You know, they were sort of, you could say, hippies, in a sense. Not all of them, of course. There was wide, like, pot smoking everywhere. Everywhere you went, you could smell somebody smoking pot somewhere.
Okay, there you go. But I had a feeling this was the type of a Woodstock type.
It had a Woodstock feel to it, yes, exactly. And the thing is, you know, everybody was against the New World Order, and New World Order this, New World Order that. The thing is, who are the bad guys? You know, that's what it comes down to. And the bad guys, of course, have been distorted in order to conceal their agenda and their identity to some extent. So, you know, they're the globalists. They're the elite. They're the Illuminati. David Icke has another dimension. He didn't go much into it, but he calls them the reptilians, the shapeshifters.
Right. Everything except the real name.
Well, exactly. Everything except the real name. And in a lot of ways, these guys are, especially Alex Jones, are gatekeepers for when somebody challenges them and says the real name. They don't allow them to speak. So it makes you wonder, from one end, they're bringing all this attention to Bilderberg, which is good, but then they co-opt the meaning of who the Bilderberg movers and shakers are and what their agenda is.
Exactly.
Mm-hmm. You know, another thing I was looking at is that, in essence, Bilderberg itself has done some of that. So it makes you wonder to what degree, you know, let's say The Guardian. I noticed that a lot of mainstream publications have written about Bilderberg. CNN wrote about it. MSNBC wrote about it. Over here, you have The Guardian, you have The Telegraph, you probably the BBC. They all talk about it now, you see. As we spoke about this before, I think in the last roundtable discussion that we had, and we said how the Bilderberg itself now has a website to where they publish what they claim is the aims of the Bilderberg, and they even publish their list or what they say is the list. I mean, I think some people that attended there were not really mentioned on their list. So now they're trying to say, well, see, you know, we have nothing to hide. We're just a group of people that get together and discuss world events and provide insight to each other, you know, without mentioning their true aims and all that. So I think what happened was they actually now say, hey, look, why not let these guys in? Instead of appearing like we have something to hide, hey, let these guys in. So we'll even allow them to be on our property, whereas previously they haven't. You know, and everybody's sort of been out on the street and the entrance there, you know, protesting, and Alex Jones with his bullhorn and what have you.
Right. So now it goes from being an insidious gathering of the top financial and political elite in the world to a party.
Exactly. And I think this is the first year that we've seen this, because before there wasn't enough space, really. Awareness, of course, has been building up over the years. It's really been over the last 3-4 years that you've had maybe 200 or 300 people that show up to these events, whereas before you might have had, you know, just a couple of dozen maybe.
Right.
So as they've been building up, they've been creating a problem, I guess you could say, to the traffic in the area, and because they couldn't really get in, so they'd have to be around close to the entrance and all that. So this time they anticipated that and they said, well, we should let these guys in. So because of that, and because of the fact that they scheduled David Icke and Alex Jones to officially go there and what have you, and some other people, now all of a sudden people had a place that they could go into. And like I said, it was sort of like a rock concert. So I think the word got around that there would be this place there for them. And I think that prompted a lot more people to show up for the event.
Right. And it's also a nice way to marginalize and discredit the real reporters, like people from American Free Press, like Tucker and Anderson and you guys who have been there for years when there were a couple of dozen protesters. You were in Greece, what, 5 years ago? And there were
four years
ago, and there were a dozen people. Now it's turned into literally some kind of, and that Freedom Palooza gets its name from this Lollapalooza rock tour. So Lollapalooza. Huh? So it's turned into some kind of a, you know, Bilderberg Palooza type thing. Where,
there you go, Bilderberg Palooza. That's a good name.
Right. Where it happens every year, and it's a big party. They're listening to Alex Jones say, the New World Order! And they're listening to that other guy talk about reptiles, or shapeshifters, whatever he calls them. But
no fairness, he didn't talk about the reptiles.
All right, but he may as well have. But the point is here, they've marginalized the good reporters. People want to have a party. They want something to celebrate. They don't want to think about it too much. There it is. Okay, hey, we're out here, dudes. I mean, just you saying that, basically, you could walk that football field length and get high because of all the people who were smoking pot shows you that they turned it into a joke. Right.
Well, you know, I wouldn't go that far. I really wouldn't go that far because, like I said, you know, a lot of it I think was good. And more than Alex Jones, I think a lot of what David Icke has to say is good. I have mixed feelings about it. I think it's good that so many more people are seeing this. As far as the message, of course, it would be nice if they really said who the people are and didn't try to take the Zionist influence. I don't even know that the word Zionist was even mentioned there. But, you know, David Icke does talk about that more than Alex Jones does. And a lot of the people that were there did talk about that. So I think overall it was a good thing. I think it was a great thing, really, that this many people showed up. And it makes you wonder what is going to happen next year, because this kind of movements, you know, tend to snowball. You know, when the word gets out of how big this was all of a sudden, then next year it's really going to be like Lollapalooza type of a Bilderberg Palooza.
Right, exactly.
Type of event. It might even draw 5,000, 10,000.
Exactly. Or it might draw none. They might not have it. It might have been a way to neutralize any type of effective opposition.
Well, I don't know, because really there was no events, and the police were really very friendly. I'll have to say that about them. I mean, I didn't see any kind of hostility from them. They were friendly. They were very accommodating. Unless there was events that I wasn't aware of that happened, any confrontations. It wasn't like a bunch of crazy demonstrators that really provoked the police and people got arrested. I don't think anybody got arrested in that sense. So...
because everybody was high.
Yeah, there you go.
Sounds like the cops were not just nice, in stark contrast to the Nazis that you can find in almost every American city or town, but it sounds like they went out of their way to accommodate the festival goers. Is that true?
Oh, absolutely. Oh, absolutely. Yeah, I was talking with one of the police liaisons there. I was basically flirting with her. She was flirting back with me, you know. I mean, they would joke about things. They themselves appeared to be on our side. And, you know, they didn't, of course, divulge too much. But they made it seem like they weren't hostile towards us in any way. Maybe even sympathetic to what we were saying, you know. I don't know. It was strange.
Mm.
But it was almost like there was nothing to sort of resist against. I mean, if you were saying like, oh, you know, the police are pigs and blah, blah, blah. Like a couple of people did. It's almost like they seemed silly for acting that way. I mean, you couldn't really get most of the people to agree with them. I mean, some people would chuckle and what have you. Some people had the bullhorn and complaining about how the police were sort of frisking everyone and saying, oh yeah, this is a police state, New World Order, And people weren't paying much attention to them, and they kind of seemed like fools because the police, they were just doing their job.
Right.
You know, they really weren't roughing anybody up. And, you know, it was understandable that they would want to check people entering that they don't have any kind of guns or bombs or knives or what have you. So you couldn't really blame them for that.
Right. Plus, it was probably a nice day, right? It wasn't raining. It was sunny.
Oh, it was a beautiful day. Right. And the people were entering the property of the Grove. So, I mean, technically, they were within the right to want to search people and that kind of thing. So... I do know that they said that they had to spend an additional $3 million for police security and other type of things. So,
and we still don't know who actually paid for that. Maybe Jim has some idea. Why don't we get Jim on the line here? Pete, thank you for that update. I didn't expect it to take up almost a half hour, but I'm glad it did because this is very, very important news.
Okay. Yeah, well, here's Jim.
Okay. Thank you, Pete.
Dave, good to talk to you.
Good to hear you, Jim.
I take a whole different spin on this thing. Personally, I believe that American Free Press had Bilderberg hijacked from them, and I think it was for a purpose. I believe that Bilderberg brought a bunch of people out there and protesting and smoking pot and, you know, really concerned, truthfully, many of them, about this so-called New World Order. But nobody really got out who these bankers were. And when Pete said no one mentioned the term Zionist, I think that what this is about. There's going to be a protest, but let's not really dig into the kitchen of these bankers.
Right.
Now, I did a couple of interviews, and I think significantly, when I look at it, I think that there's several things that catch my attention. Shortly before Bilderberg, Google had a conference at the Grove Hotel, and Google cleared and vacated the entire hotel like Bilderberg does and had some security. Certainly not as widespread as Bilderberg, but they had security as well. Now I've found out through sources that shortly after Bilderberg, there'll be another powerful, which one is it, Pete, that's going to have their...
Was it Amazon?
Amazon. Amazon.com is going to have one at the Grove and is going to vacate the facility. I think specifically this Bilderberg was dealing with the issue of taxation, the international specific interpretation of how people feel towards and may be receptive towards looking at internet taxation. And Google has a little bit of a problem trying to iron out with the United Kingdom over taxes owed. I think what you're beginning to see is you're beginning to see the drums beat for some taxation. And personally, I believe this group that we witnessed has been dumbed down. Dumbed down that would jump right on the bandwagon of a Bilderberg move to be screaming to have these corporations taxed. Tax the corporations, not us. Bottom line is, I believe you're going to see some development of taxation towards the internet, and I think that was a big part of this Bilderberg. And keep one thing in mind. Yes, they may just tax the corporation, and the people will feel we've had a victory. Tax them, tax them. They've got the money. But what they don't understand is the corporation is simply going to pass that tax on to them, the consumer.
Of course.
So I think what's happened, several things that I think were not very good. From my understanding, in a short period of time following Bilderberg with Jim Tucker, Bilderberg is not an American Free Press initiative anymore. It's been hijacked, it's been taken, and it's been taken to insulate it because someone like American Free Press just might analyze who the hell these people are and may tie Israel into this. I honest to God think that has much to do with why and how this thing was orchestrated. Secondly, there was a couple things that got my attention through the mainstream press. I talked to some people off and on that were not at the event, and they more or less thought that these were nuts out there, kooks, lowlife. You know, why don't they get a life, get a job? Sort of like we heard about the old Occupy Wall Street thing for a while. But the thing is, the newspaper referred to them as dissidents, in some cases, malcontents, conspiracy theorists. And one newspaper referred to them as anti-capitalists. I found that maybe the most amusing and most interesting definition of these participants of all. And I asked, you know, I asked Pete, what is an anti-capitalist? They dare not mention the name communist. And I think this thing has been so structured to now look at the New World Order. Most of these people don't know what the hell they hate. They just hate everything.
Right.
They hate authority. They hate money. They hate power. And nobody really knows, and nobody has been able to get into the fiber and fabric of Bilderberg. And I think that's the shame of it now, because I think it's been hijacked in some kind of a big festival, and it's become an event. And I don't think it's going to do a damn thing, because Bilderberg will find a way. They'll find a way to fight back, and maybe, like you say, maybe not even have one.
I agree with what you're saying, Jim. But that's what it sounds like to me. But we could be wrong.
Yes. Yes, we can. I mean, they had a big crowd. These people were all anti. That's a good definition. They're anti. I don't think they know why they're anti and what they're anti from. And I think before it's all over, they'll end up being manipulated down a corridor to support something that'll probably be in their worst interest when it's all over. Believe me when I tell you, because I believe this Bilderberg dealt with the internet. It's dealing with the power of the internet, and it's dealing with the taxation, where these countries and many of these free-speaking countries, civilized countries, they're looking for revenue everywhere they can. And that's a money machine, that little box we're talking on. It's big money, and they want to get a piece of it.
Yeah, of course. And it's not a coincidence that Google was there and Bilderberg was there and Scamazon is going to be there. All three at the same hotel? What? I mean, come on.
And they vacate the hotel, and they provide security. In addition, their CEOs were both at Bilderberg. So I get the impression they came in. And let's look at that. Here's a big hotel. One of our little investigative ploys was we found out there was a couple there from Italy at the Grove that had a five-month commitment. They were making a film. They were there 3 months, and they were told to leave. They were incensed, but they had no choice. They had to leave. So that makes me think now. Certainly, when the Grove scheduled these people, that was a good contract for them. And they probably scheduled them on up to Bilderberg. But all of a sudden, Google comes into play. And Google makes a phone call, and the hotel is vacated. Then following Bilderberg, Amazon.com vacates the premises. So it's like as if the power reached out, because I believe Google and Amazon.com and the big internet and the big powerful companies are meeting in the United Kingdom, where the first developments of friction are emanating from.
Mm-hmm.
Now, one thing that got my attention was this helicopter, very high, continuous, hours and hours and hours. Just the cost of that aerial monitoring to stop anybody from flying through the so-called no-fly zone. I mean, enough is enough. I think they've gone too far. When you mentioned this new road, you know, I thought there didn't seem to be too much traffic going in and out. And I asked around from people if they had seen much traffic going in and out to the Grove, and very few did. And very few of the taxi people I talked to, and I did some extensive talking with people, they, in fact, didn't deliver anybody to the Grove. So I think you have a perpetrated situation here that's very calculated. I think Bilderberg gave them everything they wanted. They've now come out and they've sort of shielded their cloak of secrecy. They look to be open and transparent, and nobody really talks about who they were and what their real purpose is. Now, I mentioned on my interviews, and personally, that's probably why people didn't want to hear what I had to say. I said the common denominator that runs through this group is the bankers. I think everything else is a diversion. These bankers are rubbing shoulders with people who are going to be in key positions in respective governments, and they're looking at their landscape as far as their revenue is concerned and where the trends are going for them financially. I think everything else at Bilderberg is a bunch of bullshit, excuse my mouth. Only thing I will say is I think it is a real travesty that American Free Press was not mentioned. American Free Press was basically pushed aside. And American Free Press was pushed aside because of the nature of the politics that are portrayed by American Free Press. So that's where we are. But I could see this. I could see Alex Jones and his David Icke having a newsletter on Bilderberg now that has 20, 30,000 subscribers, more than the newspaper of American Free Press. And that's the sad part of it that I see. I think that American Free Press has allowed one of their legitimate and honest endeavors with sincere hope of helping the American people and the world basically been taken away and hijacked by a group that is going to make sure that it's not going to really get at the nitty-gritty, which may be, in fact, those big Jewish bankers.
Yeah, both of you guys basically said the same thing. Did you guys speak at this rally?
Not at all.
No.
Wasn't asked to speak. And I was a little concerned about that. I thought we should have manipulated a little bit American Free Press to have had one or two of us at least on the agenda. And there were a spot there in the afternoon where there wasn't much happening. And they had some rappers on a stage and some people on a stage that were, I mean, really obnoxious. At least something could have been brought forward to that group. And maybe they could have been hit with American Free Press's move with the Freedom of Information Act investigation and other things. But no, we had no say. We were participants just like everybody else. And quite frankly, I found it revolting and sickening to see those pot smokers and stuff. I just don't like that, David. I didn't like it at all.
Yeah. How about you, Pete? Did you speak at all?
Oh, no, no, I didn't speak at all. And, you know, if any of us would have spoken, it would have been, well, Jim, of course, because his status as a congressman. But Mark was, like I said, he was the main guy on there, you know, to give him all the credit he deserves. He was there every day since Thursday, and he was involved with all the local alternative news people. And he was in the news tent there and interviewing others and being interviewed by them. So he had his finger on the pulse of what was going on. So he would have been the guy. I mean, he was the representative of American Free Press in the field. When I asked him about it, he says that, you know, the reason that they had a separate tent from the main tent, which was the main news tent that The Guardian had and, you know, Alex Jones and a few other people, was that ideologically, you know, they had problems. And it comes down to, you know, this is very revealing as far as what we said before, which is that, you know, I remember when I went to Greece in 2009 with Jim Tucker, and this guy, Charlie Skelton, was there. So, like I said, I saw him yesterday and the day before, and I spoke to him briefly. And, you know, he remembered me and says, hey, how are you doing, this and that and the other. But I also remember something that I didn't really, at that time, I wasn't working for AFP, so I didn't know exactly what to make of it. But, you know, Jim, when we came back to the States, sent a subscription, an AFP, and maybe even a Barnes Review subscription to Charlie Skelton, because he had been helpful to Jim in obtaining some information. You know, he was a younger guy, more on the ball on some things, you know, with the internet and what have you. So Jim sent him a free subscription, and he sent a letter back, and I remember reading it, and he rejected it. And he says, oh, I don't want to be associated, you know, with your newspaper, and I don't espouse your point of view, and something to that effect. They try to portray us as, like, Nazis, okay, or anti-Semites, you know, Nazis, Hitler supporters, what have you. And that's really at the crux of what the problem is here. When Alex Jones gets up there, he portrays the Bilderbergers as the Nazis. And he says it over and over again. And he says, how about Prince Bernhard was a Nazi, and somebody else that was a main character at Bilderberg was a Nazi, and that the New World Order is a continuation of Nazi Germany, and they're going to bring out the same kind of Nazi oppression and totalitarian government and that kind of thing. And that's really at the crux of the disinformation that they're selling. So we are in direct conflict with that, because we're saying, you know, that the Nazis weren't the bad guys. We're saying that the Zionists were the bad guys. And that's really what they're scared of. I think it was this guy Skelton's wife that somehow had some connection with the people that owned the Grove and, I guess, the media. I forget exactly who in them, a BBC connection, something. And they established this free zone. So they had the ultimate control over who spoke and who did what and what happened there. And according to Mark, the attitude wasn't 100% friendly towards AFP.
Yeah, Dave, you could see that. They didn't want the American Free Press to have anything to do with the event. They talked about Jim Tucker because, you know, that was great, and it sort of like made him look like they're being kind to everybody. But there was a direct intent to shut out American Free Press, and they certainly weren't going to let anybody get up there and speak that might excite that crowd relative to issues that they'd be concerned about. Right. Keep in mind, David Icke and Alex Jones wouldn't have any shows. They wouldn't be anywhere if they really talked about what the hell's going on in the entertainment industry, that's for sure. All they have to do is mention Zionism one time, you won't hear them again.
Exactly.
They'll be gone. And they know real well about it. So, you know, I think it's food for thought that maybe American Free Press has got to sit down and start taking a look at these types of things. I mean, there was a lot of money invested into Bilderberg, a lot of effort, a lot of the credit that goes for what has happened is definitely American Free Press. But quite frankly, American Free Press has been set aside like a second-class group that's simply a bunch of Nazi lovers and people don't want to be involved with them. And that's unfortunate because dollars and cents, I don't see how American Free Press is going to grow.
Yeah, they were quarantined, American Free Press.
Yeah, now let me say this. Mark kept saying to me that he was working to get Alex Jones to interview me and stuff like that. I think a request should have been made up front that, you know, we want Jim or Pete and Mark, whatever, to be a part of the program. We want them to speak. American Free Press has been the catalyst for this whole Bilderberg movement. But that really wasn't done. Okay? And number one. And number two, Alex Jones and David Icke are not going to let anybody steal their thunder, take their thunder. That's show business.
Sure.
So we see that happening. But the bottom line is, we've been effectively just surgically removed, and it's really stupid. I thought Mark should have gone and said, look, tell us who you want. Here's our three speakers. Now, you don't have to put them on in prime time, but you have a lot of these small people coming up there with rap songs and bullshit. And certainly our guys could take 10, 15 minutes. Whichever one you want, that's who will speak. I'm not knocking Mark because I'm sure he was trying to get an interview. Now, he called and left us a message that if he can't get that interview here in Bilderberg, he's going to try and get Jim to be interviewed by Alex Jones. I was interviewed by Alex Jones years ago. And quite frankly, Alex Jones was very concerned about some of the things I was saying. And I don't think Alex Jones wants me on his show.
Well, there's a lot of evidence that Jones is nothing more than a Zionist shill.
Well, they all are, David. Show me where Larry King and Rush Limbaugh have anything in common. There's only one area. Rush Limbaugh will never mention Israel and the Jews. Take a look at Glenn Beck. Take a look at all of them. Because if they do, including O'Reilly and all of these so-called big shots, Hannity, they won't be on the air. Their show will be over. They will be removed. That's it. That's the hidden word. And I think Bilderberg now has been shielded from what is the real issue with these bankers. What's the common denominator of the bankers? Yes, Bilderberg's common denominator of the bankers, but what's the common denominator of the bankers? They all seem to be powerful Jewish men.
Right.
No one's talking about it.
There's a possibility that Jones might even be on the payroll of Bilderberg.
I don't think so, but what it is he's making a lot of money by being an activist, but he's a safe activist. He doesn't really get into their shit, and he keeps everything in order for him. And that's about it. Same thing with Rush Limbaugh. I almost fell off a chair one night when I saw O'Reilly. Remember the old Wiener situation in Congress?
Oh, sure.
Where the congressman from New York showed his private parts?
It was very exciting, yeah.
I watched O'Reilly doing a show, and he was really slamming this guy. I mean, this guy's got to go. And I even said to somebody who's around, I said, O'Reilly's going to have a problem over this. David, I tell you, it was less than 10 days. O'Reilly had a show, and listen to what he said. You know, maybe we've been too hard on this guy. He said, he's really brilliant. He made a mistake, but not a crime. He said, I believe he'll make a good mayor. He's running for mayor now. Huh. You know why? He got a call from upstairs and says, what are you picking on that guy for? Now he's saying he's a brilliant guy. He didn't commit a crime. Made a bad move. He was young, but he's brilliant. Someday I think he'll make a great mayor. You know why? O'Reilly wouldn't have a damn show.
Absolutely. Too bad more people don't know this, Jim.
This is what I've seen from Bilderberg. Bilderberg has been hijacked, and the people who need to be exposed are now insulated with the flurry of transparency and a flurry of success for them to come clean. It's almost like a fairy tale setting.
Right. It's almost like it was staged.
Well, it couldn't have been orchestrated any better.
Right. That is what I picked up from when Pete was giving me the information that he did. But American Free Press is out there alone again, and I guess it's now American Free Press's job to not just report on Bilderberg the way they have been doing for the past several decades, but also to report now on the Bilderberg of today, the new Bilderberg that has these clowns like Jones and these other people there with their bullhorns, not mentioning the real bad guys. So that was yesterday. And when did that go from until the whole day?
I'm not sure exactly when it started in the morning, probably 9 o'clock or so, maybe even earlier. Gee, I stayed there until maybe 8 o'clock. I think maybe longer. But the actual event pretty much ended when Alex Jones got off the stage. They saved him for last. He was the main attraction.
Now, did they have food stands set up there?
They did have a couple stands.
Yeah, some people sold.
It was almost like a carnival.
Yeah, in a way it was. Yeah, there was people selling T-shirts and stuff like that, you know. I've been to some Bilderberg T-shirts.
Yeah, a little food stand.
By next year, it definitely will be. They have it. Oh, they'll be like renting booths to people and everything. You know, it'll be like an extravaganza.
Right, and they might just have it at the Grove Hotel every year because now they're out in the open. Hey, join us. Bilderberg will put out announcements on their own website. Join us for Bilderberg 2014 at the Grove Hotel. We're going to have new food court set up for your convenience. That's what it seems like to me. Jim, you think that's too far off base?
Well, I wouldn't be surprised now at anything, but the bottom line is that the mainstream media is also going to take pretty good care of Bilderberg. At least they wrote about it this year, but they still depicted these people as a bunch of bums and anti-capitalists. And the average person, I think, that was following that, and I don't know, I think they got the impression that these are some wackos out there and they dismissed it. So I don't know what, if anything, is done. Right. It's certainly probably got the attention of the Bilderberg because they've had it so serene all these years, but I think it's a new day now.
Pete, what do you think about what Jim was saying? Do you think that American Free Press was effectively isolated and quarantined and that now American Free Press is out in the cold again, the sole voice to uncover what Bilderberg is really all about? Do you believe that? Jim has painted a rather stark picture of what's happened here at Bilderberg 2013. He feels, and for what it's worth, I agree with him for the little I know from what you told me, but it sounds like American Free Press has been quarantined. Everybody knows about American Free Press because they know about Jim Tucker. They spent quite a bit of time giving accolades to Tucker, but they refused to make the connection to American Free Press, even though that was his employer. Tucker knew nothing about Bilderberg prior to Willis Cardo educating him about it. Willis Cardo is the one who should be lauded, not Jim Tucker, because he was just doing what Cardo told him to do. So Jim saying that effectively American Free Press has been quarantined, they're isolated, they're now probably not going to have the connection that they had with Bilderberg prior to Tucker passing away. Do you agree with that?
No, I don't. Not necessarily. These guys, of course, have their own agenda and what have you. I don't know that that's necessarily true. I think to some degree that depends on how we deal with the situation.
But you don't think it's ironic that American Free Press was purposely shut out?
Absolutely. 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 But look, I don't think it was just the fact that these people specifically had a plan to sideline American Free Press. Okay. I think the understanding and the mentality of the people that were there was consistent with what was being said. I think, you know, if I got up there, if any of us got up there and said, hey, don't you know all these guys here, they're all Jews, they're all Zionists, and don't you know this and don't you know that? I think people would have been offended. I think it was like Occupy Wall Street. You know, it started out as the, you know, end the Fed and, you know, a valid concept of replacing unconstitutional Fed money with debt-free government-originated money, which is a real valid thing. But then you get all these other leftist interests that got in there. You got all these kind of hippies that moved into it. They were just protesting for the sake of protesting, you know, and selling, I don't know, alfalfa sprouts, the smoking pot and playing the guitar and the sitar and all this crazy stuff, you know, making it like a festival. So I think these guys have a way of twisting the meaning of something to sort of take away these key elements. I found myself talking to a lot of people there, and as we know, even discussing these things with other people, when you get to talking about the Jewish issue, and God forbid the Holocaust, and who Hitler was, and what World War II was all about, and then the race issue, both of these are taboo issues, because most of the people are fairly liberal. So when they hear these things, they're conditioned to think like, oh my God, you know, this person is an anti-Semite. Oh my God, he's a Holocaust denier. Oh, he's a racist. And most people think of that as hateful and can't really get beyond that and see what's really going on. I think that's a key thing. So when you interpret what the New World Order is, to them, it doesn't include any of this. Who are these guys? They're some mysterious Illuminati, some Satanist, some greedy plutocrats that just want to take over.
Reptilians.
And aliens, sure, of course, of course. Frankly, to tell you the truth, I first got into this stuff by reading David Icke books. So to a big extent, I have respect for David Icke. But then he had mentioned in some of his books, he mentioned the Spotlight and some footnotes. And I looked into it and I started subscribing to the Spotlight back in 99. And once I did, then I got to, you know, reading some of the books as far as Zionism, reading about Hitler and World War II and all that. I understood things completely differently. And then I said, well, gee, how come David Icke's books are being sold at Barnes & Noble and Borders, which was still open then, you know, mainstream places, and Mike Piper's book and a lot of the books that we sell, they're not being sold there, you know? So what's going on here? How come they're allowing him to say what appears to be a lot of the same stuff that we say? I mean, you know, he lays it all out as far as who the Rothschilds are and all these Bilderberg and the Council of Foreign Relations and blah, blah, blah. He even had the protocols of the Elders of Zion, really, on there. To be fair, David Icke did talk quite a bit about the influence of Zionism. You know, he didn't talk much about it yesterday, but he does say more than Alex Jones does on the matter. But those don't go deep enough. They say, well, the Jews are victims, you know, of the big Jews and, you know, the big powerful people, and basically just kind of downplays it. And of course, he talks about the reptilians, which, I don't know, I mean, it might have some validity depending on how you look at it, that there's some kind of other dimensional influence of these things. But the thing is, you know, when you focus on that, you don't focus on who is behind Zionism. I kind of figured that the only reason these guys are able to go out there and be mainstream is because of that, is because they don't deal with the race issue, they don't deal with the Jewish issue, and they just more or less deal with generic type of New World Order kind of stuff.
You know, David, I agree with most of what Pete said, but none of the three of us would have gone up there and start taking off on Jews and Israel. Certainly we have enough common sense to mitigate and moderate in a situation like that.
Right.
But American Free Press, in my opinion, was deliberately moved aside so that it can't be associated with Bilderberg. Jim Tucker was associated with Bilderberg, not American Free Press. And that's exactly what they've set up. None of those people were there and even know what the hell American Free Press is. Now, keep this in mind. That was a great opportunity for us to get 500-600 subscribers out of that if we turned that audience on. They know what's going on, and they know that from the past, the track record of American Free Press, you know, lets it all hang out. And it goes as far as dealing with the very, very sensitive race issues, the Zionist issues. And they don't want this. And the powers that be will remove and get rid of people who espouse that. I think we've been completely removed. I think we should have had an agreement with them to be a part of that program. It should have been placed upon them that American Free Press has basically been the stalwart that's kept Bilderberg alive. And what the hell is going on here? And I think that should have been done, in my opinion, and it wasn't done. And as a result, we're outsiders looking in. And before it's all over, I think we won't even have a say in the matter anymore.
Yeah, I think you're right. And I think what Pete said earlier about Charlie Skelton actually returning the newspaper from Tucker and saying, I don't want to have anything to do with this. I think Skelton obviously is intimately aware of Tucker's prior relationship with American Free Press. He's intimately aware of American Free Press. And this might have been actually set up as a way to get rid of, as you say, American Free Press from any effective association with Bilderberg. Now, I wanted to ask you guys, up until this point, American Free Press has had a congenial relationship with Alex Jones. Would you recommend now changing that relationship from congenial to adversarial?
I don't know if I would go that far, but I wouldn't give him any attention. And I would attempt in all the writings to downplay that it seemed to be like Bilderberg has now become an in thing, a fashionable thing, but it seems to be a surface thing. And maybe the real fruit and the soul of Bilderberg that was being pursued by American Free Press and Spotlight and Liberty Lobby, starting with Willis Cardo, carrying on through Jim Tucker, has now been swayed away, where now there is a different element there. It's one of entertainment, and quite frankly, that Bilderberg is going to be able to hide and get away with much of their stealth activities while showing some transparency and giving a couple people some credit for it. I wouldn't go into an adversarial position, but I wouldn't be alluding to the guy that much. I'll tell you that right now. I wouldn't give him any attention.
Right. Pete, what do you think?
Yeah, I don't see the advantage of being adversarial, really. Maybe there is. I don't know. I know several of us feel strongly that Alex Jones, you know, is a shill and that he has this very powerful agenda. And that might be true. I don't know whether it's beneficial to just take a hostile position towards him and just say that he's a gatekeeper for the Jews or the, you know, Israelis or what have you. I don't know that it is. And I don't know whether it's beneficial to have people be aware of the things that, you know, Alex Jones or David Icke or others. Is it better to be aware that the Bilderbergers are bad and that they control so much of the policy of politics? Or is it better to just not be aware of it at all? From that point of view, it seems like it's better to be aware of it. And these guys do help promote awareness of that there's a shadow government controlling the world. So it seems like that's a step in the right direction. Well, you know, 9/11 was an inside job. Alex Jones, of course, promoted a lot of that. But again, when it came to showing that everybody that was involved was affiliated with Israel one way or the other, you know, he wouldn't go there. So I don't know. It's an interesting thing. It's good to be aware that there is a shadow government. But then again, I think to a big degree, you know, people like Alex Jones come in there and kind of co-opt these people and don't allow them to really look in the right direction. So
I agree with you. For me personally, if I had any say in it, I always wanted to. This would be where I would take the gloves off and start pounding on the guy. I think American Free Press should pound on everybody. That, I think, is what makes American Free Press is because they hate everyone. And there's very few.
Point.
Yeah, there's very few people that they have respect for because most people are in it for themselves. Mm-hmm. And where can you find a bunch of guys who aren't and gals?
You know, David, I just like to jump in and say something.
Of course.
Actually, we don't know what Bilderberg really does. We don't know if they're this sinister devil demon or if it's a legitimate thing that's operating, trying to meet each other in closed doors. One thing I suspect it is the bankers and it's money that's pushing it in that agenda. But quite frankly, I mean, to make these people the big bad demons and all that, I mean, you want to know what they do and why they do it and who they are. But they have the right to do those things. But if there's tax money involved, then it changes the system. We never established that they have. So I think it's taken on a different dimension. American Free Press should take that dimension on. But as far as Alex Jones and guys like Jones and David Icke, they will continue to be in the popular mold because it's like anything else. In the old days when you had the civil riots down in the South with the blacks, the Jewish groups actually paid and financed those civil riots.
Right.
And they could do anything but talk about Jews. Stir up unrest with the black, but don't mention Jews. Let me tell you something. From what I've been through and from what I've seen, I suspect that there is a good shield being drawn back upon the relationship with this powerful group, the interests of Israel, or at least their common bond. They all, or most of them, are powerful Jews. Believe me, at that Bilderberg meeting, they weren't always present in the same room. I think there are times when those bankers were in those closed rooms by themselves, and they were using those goyims to find out what the hell was going on. Mm-hmm. Now, that's my opinion. I could be wrong. I don't know if I would go too much too hard because you're right. American Free Press goes after him, but then people don't like American Free Press. It gets a bad name. No one's subscribing to it. We got to try and somehow turn that around and make it more profitable so we can have more access to make something happen. And I don't know how you do that, but
I don't know either, but I think American Free Press made a smart move in sending you guys out there. Well, gentlemen, you have a flight to catch tomorrow. I'm sure you got a lot to do. You probably got to unwind after yesterday and have a couple of cocktails and throw something in your guts. And any final thoughts on Bilderberg before we talk again on a Bilderberg wrap-up, which would be in a couple of days?
To me, this is what it all comes down to. Okay, this is a general statement. It's not specifically about Bilderberg, but it is. Because I talk with several people afterwards, and all these conversations, you start talking about, well, the New World Order and this and that and who these guys are and blah, blah, blah. And then you start hitting them with some of the issues that we know to be the most valid. You know, you start mentioning Zionism, and then you mention Israel, and then you mention the Jews, and inevitably you come to the Holocaust, you know, and then you come to who Hitler was. And then that's where you see that that's really where the mind control barrier is. So it really comes down to Holocaustianity. That's the magic spell. That's the dust in the eyes of the people that has been put there in order for them to not see what's going on. So I think that's really the game that's really being played here. And yeah, I mean, I have the utmost respect for what Willis has done over the years to have been such a big part of promoting Holocaust revisionism. And he was, of course, destroyed because of that, you know, with the IHR and, as you know, the story. So some people say, well, that's irrelevant to what's happening today. No, it's not. It's the most relevant thing that there is. Because you cannot see the Jews as the people promoting being at the pinnacle of this sinister agenda of taking over the world and running the media and Hollywood and the banks and all these kind of things against us, when at the same time you see them as the poor victims that the evil Hitler holocausted. And these guys, Alex Jones and David Icke, I don't know to what degree they do it knowingly. I would think Alex Jones does it more knowingly than David Icke, which is saying that the bad guys are the Nazis. The bad guys are the result of what Hitler did and all this evil. So people's heads can't really grasp that, hey, man, this is a Jewish agenda. This is a Zionist agenda. All these guys, who runs the media? Who runs Wall Street? Who runs the banks? Who runs everything? You know, and they can't see the Jews as bad people because of the Holocaust. End of story.
Yeah, we've talked about that. You can't see them as aggressor and victim at the same time.
And that's what they're doing, yeah.
David, I think the time has come to stop talking about Jews and Israel and start talking about the Israeli lobby. Quite frankly, I think the Israeli lobby's gone too far. They're going to end up hurting the Jewish people in America, and they're going to end up hurting Israel. And we should put the spotlight on that Israeli lobby and get in their kitchen. Now, I think that Israeli lobby is the group that is the tentacles out here that's causing a lot of this problems in the country and in the world, quite frankly. So I think it's reasonable for us, if we are concerned about Israel, to be concerned that Israel doesn't collapse because their lobby is going to push it over the edge, and the people around the world are going to revolt against this Zionism, which not necessarily need to happen. The only thing I will say is we should have had a say in this program. We should have been a part of it. We were like everybody else. We were visitors. We were background music in a doctor's office.
Right. You're right. Gentlemen, thank you for this wonderful analysis, these analyses, and I bid you farewell, and I hope you have a safe flight, and see you in a few weeks in Kintnersville, Pennsylvania.
Very good.
That's right.
Thanks, guys.
Take care, David.
Okay,
all right.
Dave.
All right, guys. Thank you.
Bye.